The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. Praise and glory to God. The vine and the branches. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the Lord.
Please take a seat, all. Wayne, if we could have that next video to play now, that'd be wonderful. Thank you. Well, good morning. Today being Father's Day, it's an all-age service, so all ages are in together, which is really, really cool. So welcome children, welcome teenagers, welcome young adults, welcome middle-aged adults and older adults. You are welcome and thank you for being here and bringing your gifts and your strengths and your experiences to each other as we gather and serve each other this morning. Families, if you do have any very small children, and if they do need a break at any point, we do have a couched area at the back where you're welcome to go, and we also have a creche room with a big bubbles sign above the door, just on your right as you head out. If you need to use that, please feel free, but otherwise, please feel welcome in the space. We don't mind a bit of noise, we don't mind kids wandering around down the aisles. It's a good reminder that we have kids in our midst, which is a really good thing. And it's a blessing to us. So please feel welcomed and feel at peace as we spend time together. A question to everyone. How many of you have seen this movie before, The Incredibles? Most of you. Oh, actually, not most of you. This half don't seem to have... Okay. Not Pixar fans. A question to all the men, just the men. How many of you do you think can relate to that scene from the movie? Yeah, I knew it. I'm not sure how you'd look in spandex, but yeah, fair enough. Incredible husband, incredible father, incredible strength, incredible employee, incredible student, incredible life. If you're like me and that doesn't describe your life, you're in good company. And I hope that you realize through today's message that all is not lost, as we will discover in our Bible story. You know, I wonder if there was an Incredibles training school. I wonder what the three steps to success would be. Maybe there'd be something like this. Believe in yourself, be true to yourself, and rely on yourself. Three steps to being a good superhero, right? Well, we're going to take a look at the story of Gideon from the book of Judges this morning. And I suppose you could call Gideon a hero. In fact, God addresses him as a mighty warrior. And he's famous for leading just a small army of 300 Israelites against the forces, the mighty forces of the Midianites, and winning. But the training that God gave Gideon was quite different from these three things here, which we're about to discover. In God's mighty warrior training school, he has three quite different steps to success. So if you, like me, struggle with feelings of not being quite good enough, not quite matching up to expectations, my prayer is that God would encourage you today through the story of Gideon. The first part of our story comes from Judges chapter 6, verses 1 to 18. Once again, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. So for 7 years, he handed them over to the people of Midian. The Midianites treated the people of Israel very badly. That's why they made hiding places for themselves. They hid in holes in mountains, and they also hid in caves and in other safe places. And each year the people planted their crops, and when they did, the Midianites came into the country and attacked it. So did the Amalekites and other tribes from the east. They camped on the land. They destroyed the crops all the way to Gaza. They didn't spare a living thing for Israel. They didn't spare sheep, cattle, or donkeys. The Midianites came up with their livestock and tents. They came like huge numbers of locusts. It was impossible to count all of those men and their camels. They came into the land to destroy it. Midian made the people of Israel very poor. Okay, I need your help to tell the next part of the story. I need your eyes to be on the screen here. And when you see the following words, I want you to shout them out with great gusto all together. Can you do that? The first one's only one word, the second one's a few more words. You ready? Here we go.
No.
Not bad. Next one.
The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.
Let's try that again. You ready?
No. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.
You are onto it. So, under an oak tree in Ophrah, we meet the hero of the story. The one who will save Israel from this great enemy. Is he tough and muscly?
No.
Is he faster than a speeding bullet and able to leap tall buildings in a single bound?
No.
Is he really good at climbing walls and swinging from a thread?
No.
Does he have a cool outfit?
No.
Where is our hero to be found? Here's the tree. Here's the threshing floor, but where is our hero? It turns out that our man is so scared that instead of threshing his wheat out in the open air, letting the wind blow the chaff away, he's trying to thresh his wheat in a hole in the ground in a wine press. Now, this to me doesn't seem a very sensible idea at all. But the Midianites were destroying everything in its path, and the Israelites were scared. Very, very scared. And our hero Gideon is hiding in a hole in the ground. But Gideon was about to have his fear-filled day turned upside down when an angel of the Lord comes down from heaven and sits under the tree.
Gideon. Gideon.
Pardon me?
started. Sorry, if the Lord is with us, why have all these bad things happened to us? And where are all the miracles our ancestors talked about? God has abandoned us.
Go in strength you have. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?
But how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family.
I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together.
Okay, if you have found a favor in my eyes, I will go and smash them.
I will wait until you return.
Okay, sweet.
Gideon a la Kiwi. I like it. It's good. So with that, Gideon the wimp, the smallest member of the smallest tribe of Israel, Gideon, who was so scared he almost suffocated himself threshing wheat in a ground, in a hole in the ground, this Gideon headed off to get his offering for the Lord, leaving the angel waiting for his return. So, three steps to success in God's mighty warrior training school. Three short steps. Here's the first. Not believe in yourself, but believe in who God says you are. Consider for a second where Gideon started. He's living in constant fear, furtively threshing his wheat inside a winepress. He considers himself to be totally insignificant. He tells the angel of the Lord that my tribe is the smallest and I am the least of my tribe. And yet, the angel of the Lord addresses him as mighty warrior. And he tells Gideon that he is to defeat the Midianites, the very people that have been driving fear into God's people. God is a truth-telling God. He's in the business of pulling back the curtain and allowing us a glimpse of life as he sees it. Not a life of fear and hiding in a wine press, not a life of failure and inadequacy, but a life of promise and hope and courage. When God calls Gideon mighty warrior, he sees the future where Gideon will become that mighty warrior. You see, the point of the story is not how we feel, but how God feels about us. So do you know who you are in God? And do you know the life of promise and hope and courage God is calling you into? Step two. Not to be true to yourself, but to be true to who God says you are. You know, it's not enough just to know who God says you are. We're called to live that out and to live it out with confidence. But even though Gideon has received this new identity from God, a mighty warrior, he is still full of ifs and buts. But how can God really be with us? Look around us. Look what's happening. But how can I save Israel? But I'm the weakest in my tribe. But notice by contrast, God's words convey only certainty and clarity. The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Go in the strength you have and save Israel. Am I not sending you? I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. God is not just giving Gideon a new name. He's calling him to live out that new name. But of course, it's a learning process for Gideon, just as it is for us. They're promising signs at the start. Gideon goes off, gets bread, and he gets, what else does he get? Meat, and he comes back to offer his sacrifice to God. But then God increases the stakes. And in the second part of chapter 6, God tells Gideon he has to go and destroy the altar made to worship the god Baal that his own father has built. And even though God says, don't be afraid, Gideon is afraid. And he does it, he obeys, but he does it at nighttime under the cover of darkness. He's still learning. But then comes the biggest test of all. The armies of Midian Amalek and the other eastern peoples join forces and they cross over the River Jordan in a display of aggression and war against Israel. And what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon Gideon, and Gideon blows the war horn and gathers together the armies of the tribes of Israel. His first significant act of courage. And thank God that today he still gives us his Holy Spirit, not a spirit of timidity or fear, but a spirit of power and a spirit of love and self-discipline. But even though Gideon has the spirit with him, it doesn't mean he's automatically fearless. He's still scared. And if we read on, we find that he gives God this test with a fleece, a sheep's fleece. So he knows without a shadow of a doubt that God really is calling him to go and defeat the Midianites. And God, by his grace and his mercy, does what Gideon asks. He sees that Gideon needs encouragement, and he gives it. Like a good father, like a loving father, he encourages Gideon to do what he calls him to do. So what task is God calling you to do in this season? And what encouragement do you need from him to be able to do it? Well, let's find out what happens next in the story as we head into chapter 7. And so without any further ado, could you please put your hands together and welcome the host of today's show, Augustine. Let's have a round of applause.
Well, yes. Well, okay. Thank you. Okay, too much, okay. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Augustine, and welcome to the episode of YTF. Yes, they're famous. Joining us today, we have a mighty warrior, a leader with courage, and an all-around nice guy. Please put your YTF welcome to Gideon. Wait, stop. Wait, you're not Gideon. Who are you? Who are you? Security. Do we have security?
I'm Pura, Gideon's servant. Don't worry. It's all been organized with your program producer. It's fine.
I have a program producer. Okay. Well, that's kind of cool. Well, then, welcome. Come. We don't have chairs to sit down. I guess Middle Earth doesn't have chairs. But, okay. Oh, I have a chair. Look at this. High budget. Feels like the BBC. Okay.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, mighty warrior. Servant, number one servant to Gideon. I can see you partially. I suppose Gideon must be tired from his recent battles and to the Midianites, I guess. So please tell us what happened. How did Gideon, of all people, able to do all that? Tell us about it.
Well, the thing is, Gideon didn't beat them. That's why I'm here.
That's why you're here.
Yeah.
So he lied.
No, the Almighty and Living God is the one who won the battle.
Okay. So you mean Gideon, the Israelite army, and the Israelite army did absolutely nothing?
No.
So please explain to me, because I'm quite confused, because I've heard through everybody, you know, from everywhere, that this was all Gideon, and he did it all.
Okay. All right, so if we go back to the beginning, right?
God created?
Anyway, okay. The story. So God said to Gideon, "You have too many men, and I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel will boast against me that my own strength has saved me." So God was like, "Announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead."
So 10 men, maybe 20, said, like, we wanted to go home, and they all were scared, right? Well, is that what you're saying?
Not 10, not 20, but 22,000 men.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand your accent. What did you say?
22,000 men.
Oh, 22,000, okay.
Because they were too scared. Okay. So that left us with about 10,000 men.
That's a pretty formidable force, right?
Yeah, you would think so, right? But then God said to Gideon, there are still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I'll thin them out for
the
you.
What?
The water.
Oh, thank okay? you.
Okay. So Gideon took the men down to the water, and the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues, as a dog laps,
okay.
from those who kneeled down to drink, okay?
Gotcha.
So 300 of them drank from cupped hands.
Oh, like Roman war, kind of like, yeah, like, okay,
from cupped
cool.
hands, right?
Okay.
And the rest got down on their knees to drink. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and the Midianites and let all the others go home.
Okay.
So he okay. sent the rest home and he kept the 300.
Okay. That's an interesting story. So Gideon is feeling very confident now, I'm assuming, because of all the stuff that happened. And like he's like ready for God to help? Or
Not really. I could see that he was looking a bit scared himself, actually. Like 300 men to defeat the Midianites. What? Did God get his maths wrong or something? But being the leader, he couldn't just go home. So that night, Gideon wakes me up and says that I am to go with him down to the enemy camp. And I thought he was crazy, but being his servant, I didn't argue.
Nice.
And on the way down there, he explained that God had said that if he was afraid, he should go down to the camp and listen to what they're saying. So we went down to the outpost of the camp, and the mm-hmm. Midianites and the Amalekites and all the other eastern peoples had settled in the valley as thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the grains of sand on the seashore. And we arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. And in the dream, a round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. And it struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. And the guard's friend responded by saying, "This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands." So when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped God. And we got back to the camp, and Gideon woke everyone and told them of the plan.
I think if bread went to me, I think I would start worshipping God too. but thank you. So he handed out the new, incredible, amazing weapon that God provided, I'm assuming?
No. Oh my God.
I'm not that thick.
So he divided the men into three groups, right?
Okay.
100 in each group. And he gave each man a trumpet and an empty jar with a torch inside, like you can see on the screen.
Okay.
And then he just said, "Follow my lead." That was the battle instruction.
That's it. Okay. So they were scared, and the enemy just went and beat them with the jars and set the fire.
No.
The camp.
No. So each
am I wrong
group,
about everything?
Each group went to a different side of the enemy camp, and then on Gideon's okay. signal, they blew the trumpets and they broke the jars that were in their hands. And grasping the torches in their left hands and holding the trumpets in their right hand, they blew them. And the men shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon."
You're pretty excited, aren't you?
Yeah, pretty cool.
And that's all you did?
Yep. Each man held his position around the camp, and all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. And when the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. So we just blew our trumpets and we shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon," and God did the rest. Over 120,000 enemy soldiers died that night.
Oh, you guys must be Pentecostals. Wow, that's amazing. Well, that is a really amazing story. I can see why Gideon didn't want all the glory for himself, giving to God and all that. You know, he's a mighty warrior. Well, thank you for sharing this amazing story about God's power, not Gideon. Can we just give her, just an amazing welcome and thank you for appreciation for that amazing story.
Thank you.
Well, that's all the time we have from YTF. And thank you for listening.
Thank you, team. Okay, we're there. We're getting there. So, Gideon started with 32,000 soldiers against an army of around about 135,000. And yet God says, you still have too many men for me to deliver you into the hands of the Midians. Wow. What a powerful God we have. You know, God needed the Israelites to see that it wasn't going to be them that achieved the victory, but only with God would they be victorious. He needed to leave them no room for them boasting that they did it in their own strength. And you know, Jesus picks up that same theme in John 15 that we heard read earlier. He says that I am the vine and you are the branches. We who remain in him, we who trust him, who rely on him, will produce much fruit. And from apart from him, we will and can do nothing. So last step of God's warrior training school, don't rely on ourselves, but rely on God. I don't know where you might find yourself today in the three steps of Mighty Warrior Training School. Maybe today you're feeling like you're hiding in a wine press for fear of something or someone in your life. Or maybe today you feel like you're confidently declaring God's victory in battle. Wherever you're at, just remember, it's not how you feel about yourself that's important, it's how God feels about you. So I want to finish by reading these words to you from 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 14. And as I read these words, I want you just to receive these words as God speaking truth over your life. Here's the words from John. I am writing to you, dear children, because your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I am writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. I write to you, dear children, because you know the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you know him who is from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God lives in you, and you have overcome the evil one. Amen.